Satan is out to destroy us. And God, it's very evident in our world how there's so much confusion among your children. It's very evident over the division of your kingdom on earth. And God, I pray as we study today, we realize that this is nothing new. They did the same thing to you as your son walked the earth. They tried to divide, they tried to conquer, and they tried to plan a way in which your son would die. Unbeknownst to them, and all along, you had a plan. And God, we cannot outdo your hand. We cannot change the plans that you have set in order. And God, I am grateful for that. And God, as we come today and we open our hearts and our minds and as we study together, God, may you be honored. May you be glorified in all that is said and done. We thank you and praise you for who you are today in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we begin our time together, we have had our little bit of a side trail in our studies as we've been looking through some of the Christmas season, some of the holiday season. And then in the month of January, I wanted to make sure that each of you realized the importance of how we need to live out this year. My goal this year is each of us will get an understanding of how better to attract people so that we can connect people, so that our spiritual lives will grow, and that we will be so excited in serving our God. You see, that's our purpose. That's why God has still left us here. There's a reason why you and I are sitting here breathing today. And it's not so that you can prepare supper or dinner. It's not so that you can go out and cheer on somebody for the Super Bowl here in a little bit. It's not so that you can go out and earn your millions of dollars that you all have. Well, maybe not. Anyway, it's not so that you and I can go out and live the life we choose. You see, as we studied, God has gifted us in many ways. God has allowed us to have abilities and to have gifts that he says, I created within you. In Psalm 139, David says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in my mother's womb, God gave me the abilities and the gifts that I now exercise for God. And how important that is. And I think, in fact, I do got to correct Tony in one thing. According to Punxsutawney Phil this morning, the AIs don't know what they're doing. Just saying. Punxsutawney Phil said the AIs are wrong. We got 6 more weeks of winter. So anyway, I appreciated that what Tony brought up this morning in the beginning, setting our tone for our service today. Because it's important to realize that Satan is out there. Satan wants us to be divided and confused. Satan doesn't want us to be together and a unified cause of Christ. Listen, that's how the early church started in Acts chapter 2. They begin to unify. They begin to come of one mind, one accord. They came with a one solid purpose. That's why those who had came and left the disciples' feet to give to those who didn't. So there'd be equality among everybody. And so God started it that way, and Satan said, well, if that's how you want it, I'm going to do everything to make it not work. And listen, he's doing a good job, isn't he? He's doing a real good job in our churches today. And when I say kingdom on earth, that's us. Listen, we're not living in the kingdom, but we're still a part of the kingdom on earth. And we divide so much. And one of the things that I appreciate so much about what God has allowed me to do every day is a realization that my God's bigger than 590 Lincoln Drive. My God's bigger than Dubois, Pennsylvania. My God is big enough to see to it that the kingdom on earth reigns and is safe. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to go through some of the things in life. We're obvious we are. We have gone through and we will go through. But as we look this morning and looking at God's timing, listen, we're getting back into Mark. Aren't you excited? Some of you forgot that's where we ended. I'm not sure. So that wasn't very powerful there. But we're getting back into Mark. So turn to Mark chapter 3. We're getting back into the study that we started prior to the Christmas season. And a little bit of behind my schedule here. But when we look at what God is doing, the greatest thing once you get out of this lesson is understand and see the timing of God. Because I'm not sure about you, but listen, I base my hope on tomorrow on the timing of God. I base my hope on the rest of my life. As we sort of roasted Eric a little bit on his 40th birthday, I told him, listen, you're at the peak. You got 40 behind you, and you hopefully got 40 in front of you. So now you're going to fall either way. I'm not sure. He's downstairs, and I don't think he can hear me, so we're all right. Him and Rachel got the junior church this month. But as we look at life, you and I realize that God's timing allows you and I to live carefree of the worries of this world. Because no matter what you go through, no matter what you're going to go through, it's all part of God's timing. And we can't make sense of that. We can't figure out why God allows this to happen in our lives or that to happen in our lives, or why does God allow that to happen in our country? Why does God allow that to wars and all the evil? We can't figure it out. And that's a good thing. Because if we can figure it out, then God's plan's not very good. My hope is based on God's timing. And I know that if something happens in my life, God timed it there for a specific purpose and reason. There's a reason why I'm in that spot, in that moment. There's a reason why I'm in that doctor's office, or a reason why I'm in that room, or in that person's life, or in that crossroads of my life. There's a reason. And instead of going into that situation and saying, God, I don't agree with this, we ought to go into it saying, God, why am I here? What do you have for me? What is my purpose in this moment? And even at that, we still can't make sense of it. Why we go through what we go through. But listen, I'm going to tell you, if you get a hold of God's timing, you get a hold of saying, God, I want to know the purpose of why I'm here, God will open some of that to you. God will allow and reveal some of those understandings to you to realize that, listen, God, I don't like it, I don't want it, but God, I'm going to accept it because this is in your timing. When you accept where God has placed you, it's half the battle. It's half of the understanding God's got me. And so with that being said, we're going to look at a little bit of God's timing as we go through this. Really quickly, when we ended this discussion way back in, November, we looked at a phrase, what is the Sabbath day? And that was a phrase that we tried to discuss because prior to going into verse 7, verses 1 through 6, Christ healed somebody on the Sabbath. So we wanted to go, and I'll just get a little bit of review because, listen, it hasn't stopped. This is Christ's Galilean ministry. He's continued to go. He went in from Galilee. Today we're going to see him go to the Sea of Galilee. He's backing up to the sea because there's so many people. So we're going to see a little bit, but what is the Sabbath? And we looked at that briefly as we studied that. And first of all, we saw that it started out as a day of rest. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, it started out, God said, you will keep the Sabbath holy. 6 days you will work, the seventh day you will rest. And as I was reminded yesterday from somebody who is not sitting here, well, you only work one day a week anyway, right? That's the day I work, the day you're all supposed to be resting. That's my only day I have to work. So, We have something different understood. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, listen, what we need to realize is as we see there on number 2, Old Covenant, there were daily sacrifices in the temple. The worship to God was Monday through Sunday, or every day of the week. And so God said, Sunday, you need to rest. Unlike today, we don't come into the church. We don't come here to worship God every day of the week. They did. They went there 3 times to pray. They went there and did their sacrifice daily. We don't live like that today. We don't have that in our practice today. The third thing we saw is that no one working on the Sabbath, it would be a great day to have an organized worship service. Man thought, listen, God said we're supposed to rest, but I think I got a better idea. Have you heard that often? In fact, look in the mirror. You probably said it often. God, I got a better idea. God, I don't want to be going through what I'm going through. I got a better plan. God, I don't want to accept what you have. I got a better plan. God, I'm going to pray that you get on my page. Listen, we've all prayed that sometime in our life. We've all come to a point of darkness. We've all come to a point in our life where we just don't agree with God. And instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to accept this, we say, okay, God, you need to hear me. God, you need to allow me to do, God, change this. And one of the songs I so much appreciated back in the day was, God, either move the mountain or move me. We don't say that often much anymore, do we? God, just move the mountain. I'm going to be okay. God, I'm fine where I'm at. Just move the mountain. Instead of, God, move me. Give me the strength to climb the mountain. Give me the strength to go above, rise above. God, don't change me. Change the mountain. God, don't change me. Change my circumstance. I'll be a happy camper if you just don't put me through this. And all along, God's saying, listen, I've got a timing in your life. I've got a purpose for this moment. And you're going to blow it. You're gonna miss the purpose. So the timing is very important. Man decided one day that no one's working on the Sabbath, so let's get them all in church. Therefore, we find the fourth one under the new covenant, simply what church gathering is to be, what we are to do coming together is simply to remember the death and the resurrection of Christ. And listen, if a sermon doesn't get you to think about Christ, it's not a sermon. It's a man giving you words. If Christ isn't in the midst of the message, if Christ is not the thrust of it, if a message coming from the truth of the Word of God doesn't challenge you, you know what my role is as your pastor? Every Sunday is for you to walk out of here with indigestion spiritually. That's my job. I love it. I really like it. Because why? Because you and I come into this sanctuary. We all come in to gather to worship God broken and damaged and influenced by an evil world. So if you leave saying, wow, that was great, I'm so happy. What was that? How can you come in broken and leave still broken and happy? You see, that's what we need to understand. That was the Sabbath. So when Christ came, and in their mind, the legalistic side of the Sabbath was, after they rolled their scroll about 3 miles down the road, because they added to everything, you couldn't even walk so many steps. And don't even, listen, this is the only thing I like about their rule. I always had to make my bed. Imagine that. I was so abused. I was told to make my bed. I had to make my bed and not just throw it together. Make it. Fortunately, now I get up so early that Kim's the last one out. I don't have to make it. But when I do have to make it, I attempt it anyway. So when we look at that, we need to understand that you weren't allowed. You weren't allowed to roll up your bed mat on the Sabbath because you're working. It got to the point where it was ridiculous. So now when Christ comes on the scene, and we saw in verses 1 through 6, Christ comes on and he heals somebody when? Ha, guess what? On the Sabbath. You see, when we look at what God wanted, the timing of Christ coming, again, we studied through the baptism. We studied through when Christ said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When the Spirit of God came upon his shoulder, what he was saying was God, Christ saying to his Father, I accept the mission that you sent me here for. I accept. All along, you think Christ didn't know that he was going to walk the Via Dolorosa? You think Christ didn't know that he was going to take a beating for you and me? You think he didn't know he was going to suffer on the cross? Absolutely he did. And yet he said, your will be done, not mine. So in that process, we have a Christ that is now coming and saying, listen, you've taken the Sabbath that's supposed to be a day of rest and you've legalized it. You put it into nothing but a bunch of laws and you're losing the whole spirit of the law. The whole spirit of coming together as God's children in Acts chapter 2 is to bring what you have, put it at the disciples' feet so everybody walks away with something. You're losing the love and the spirit of the law. And folks, we've got to that point sometimes in our Christian lives. How do I know that? Because sometimes you come into church, and again, we say it many times, that line that's crossed in the parking lot where everything is fine once you get in the door. And then you leave, and nothing changed. I don't understand how you can come into the presence of God broken and leave just as broken. Fix it. If you can't fix it, give it to God, and he will. That's his promise. And what we carry the burdens and the weight of the world on our shoulders when God says, why? Why do you care? carry the weight of the world? Why do you carry the burdens of life? Why do you carry the circumstances in your life that are so heavy? And listen, we've lost our discernment on who owns the battle of our life. God owns the battle. God will fight that battle for you. Listen, I love the fact that God fights the battle. You know why? He wins. He wins every battle. And if I'm going to let God fight the battles of my life, you know what? That means I'm going to win. I don't know when. I don't know what day. I don't know how it's going to look. But all I know is that God is going to win. And that's unbelievable. So we get into verse 7. And this is where the interesting thing comes now. Because a key thought here, what we need to think as we go into the rest of this, because we're going to go into an area where he's still in the Sea of he's still in Galilee, and he's now going to begin to get more opposition against him. And so it's going to progress, because there's going to come a time, and we'll see this as we study through, that they finally have reached, the Pharisees have reached a point. And it's going to be a point that is from that moment on going to do all they can to destroy Christ. So as we get into it, verse 7 says, but Jesus withdrew himself, his disciples, to the sea, and the great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. So the first key thought we need to understand is that there are two currents moving at this moment. There's two things going on that's happening. And I'm going to tell you, the same two currents are going on in this sanctuary today. They're going on in our world. They're going on everywhere. And the first one is this, and we're going to put it in the text and then show you. The first one is the Pharisees want to kill him. I correlate that to what's happening today is Satan wants to destroy your testimony. Satan wants to kill your spiritual testimony today. So that current is going on in our life. That current is following through everywhere we go and everything we do. Satan wants to say, listen, I want you to fall off your foundation of faith. And you know, the sad part is sometimes God allows things in our life that really test that, doesn't he? God wants to test our, why does God want to test our faith? Because he wants to see if we can blow bubbles at 50 feet of water? No, God tests us, why? Because every time our faith is tested, with his strength and power, we pass the test, our faith is strengthened. We grow closer to our God as we live through these things, as we allow him to win the battles. We see how strong we are, how much our faith can accomplish, and all of a sudden, you know what? The next time, it's a little better. It's a little stronger. All our life, we're going through life, we're building that faith as we build our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're to grow. That's in our life circle that we've studied. That's how we grow. Listen, we grow intellectually by doing our devotions, by going to Bible studies, by studying the Word of God. We grow intellectually. But God says there's more to me than just the intellect. I don't want your mind, I want your heart. When you get your heart involved with God, you know what that means? That means your reality is matching what your intellect says. That means when it hurts, God, it's hurting. God, I don't want to be here. But God, I know you promised, and in your timing, things are going to be better. You see, when we allow our heart to begin to flow with our true intellect, that's when we begin to allow our reality and our theology to come together. You see, that's true living. That's true growing with God. And I think here, as we'll see this, Pharisees want to kill him. Satan wants to destroy us also. The second thing we find is Christ continuing his ministry in the process. Listen, don't give up. Why do some people just say, you know what? I can't do it anymore. I've had enough. Listen, I'm not playing light on that, because I know some of the things that we go through in life, man, are they heavy. Man, are they hard. And the longer, I'm telling you, the longer we go through that chronic pain or always pain, the longer we go through, the harder it is. But God said, listen, did I not promise to give you strength? Did I not promise that you're able to do anything with me? Did I not promise that you won't be tempted over what you can handle with me? And the problem is, when we are tempted to give up, we are tempted to stop. You know why? It's because we've left him first. And now we're trying to handle life on our own. That doesn't happen. Because here we find the two tides. They want to kill him. And how we know that is, look at verse 6. And the Pharisees went forth straightway and took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The current, listen, we got to kill this guy. Why? Because he's showing us up. he's taken away our people, because he's taken away our livelihood. They're not listening to me anymore. So instead of figuring out why they're not listening to me, let's just kill them and then we'll get them back. Doesn't that sound like something would happen today? It sounds like something would happen today. If this guy opposes this guy, let's not see what the problem. Let's just get him out. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. There's nothing new under the sun. Whatever is going on in our world has already happened, and has happened somewhere through the scriptures. So when we see these two currents going, this is where we begin to learn the timing of God. Because as we find in verse 6, they're out, and the Herodians, they are one of the most influential political supporters of Herod Antipas, who is the man in charge. They're one of his influencers. They're the people who say, listen, you need to think of this. You need to pay attention to this. You need to watch this, or you need to get rid of this one. And he would listen to them. So the Pharisees got them on their side. So the one current is, we're going to do all we can to destroy Christ. And Christ says, I'm going to do all I can to minister to God's people. Folks, that's the evil we face in our world. That's the position we're in right now. We can either succumb to the evilness and the inclusion and the compromises and all the things going on in our world, or we can simply say, you know what? I'm going to do all I can to do it right for God. It's the same wedge we find ourselves at. And so when we see this, I trust when we see this God's timing in all this, how important it is. Because when we go through this, the first thing we need to realize that Christ's ministry is attracting many. First cycle of the wheel, attracting. Let's look at verse 8. And from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, the great multitude, and when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. So when we look at this, we realize that in these two verses, as Christ withdrew himself from where? From Galilee to the Sea of Galilee, there are many people that followed him. His attracting, in fact, it's interesting because when you see these groups of areas from the south, Jerusalem and Judea and Idumea, and from beyond Jordan is the east, and Tyre and Sidon is the south. Guess where west was? In the middle of the sea, okay? Don't make this difficult. His back was to the west, and from every area of direction, they came. You see, God just doesn't attract a few. He attracts anybody from anywhere. And it's interesting, as you know, you go back into Acts, that our ministries are to start where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world? Isn't that what he's just showing you? His ministry standing at the bank of the Sea of Galilee, his ministry was to Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. His ministry was now growing to a point that verse 6 becomes more understandable. We got to kill him. He's being too popular. He's doing too many things that go against us. So first thing we find in this, first of all, a great multitude followed him. We see that in verses 7 and 8. We see and understand from what areas they came to him and they followed him. The question is, why? Why did they follow him? Why did they come from, listen, they didn't take the neighbor train or take a jet. Of course, today, after all the accidents, just pray for those people. Man, I'm telling you, when God says the rocks and the hills will cry out, the evilness of our world, just things are happening that we don't understand. And so when we realize they couldn't have taken any fast track, this is all walking or camel, okay? So they came from all of the areas. Why? And I'm going to tell you, when they say in the end of verse 8, they had heard what great things he did. The best way that you and I can attract people to Christ is let people hear from other people how you get back up when life knocks you down. Let other people say, man, you need to understand. In fact, I'm going to give you this one. I am happily married today for 13 years because somebody else said to somebody else, you need to go talk to him because he lost his wife and he's been through it. And Kim and I, that's the only counseling session I can claim went right. I'm telling you, I love it. Somebody went to a friend of Kim's and told Kim, listen, go talk to the guy. And I'm not sure, I'm using it as a big spiritual thing. They used it as, we're going to hook these two up, and they don't even know it. That's what they were thinking. I know that's what they were thinking, because we've talked to them after fact. But you know, when you look at how what other people say about you will attract other people to you. The question is, what are they saying? I can't answer that for you. What are they saying? Because when they saw, listen, they came for the outside. If someone said, if you come and touch this table, you're cancer free, how many people would flock into this table? If you were going to say, I have a fix, just come touch the table and you're done with cancer, I'm telling you, it would be a mass confusion. Because see, that's what they saw. They were there, all they saw is what he could do. No one saw who he was. You know, the sad thing is many build their faith on that today too. My faith is as strong as long as I see what you're doing is okay with me. Your faith is built on what he can do. Because something happens in your life and we pray to God, God, you need to fix this. God, my faith is strong. And you have a group of people out there saying, if your faith is strong enough, God will heal. Well, when he doesn't, well, that's your fault. Your faith wasn't strong enough. Seriously? At the moment somebody loses somebody, you're going to go to them and say, hey, your faith ain't strong enough, but they wouldn't have died. Really? You see, they play the angle. God says, listen, your faith doesn't rest in what I can do. It rests in who I am. And if my timing, my choice says you're going to go through this, trust me. Trust me in that. You know who I am. And so when we come to this text and we realize they came to him simply because they wanted healed outwardly. They wanted the outward things that he was doing. They didn't understand the inward things. And so when we see this and we understand his ministry attracting people at this point in his ministry was simply because of what he was doing. But yet that's beneficial to us because it tells us that how we live our life, how we respond to life, how we answer to people, all is a reflection of attracting people to Christ. We got to be able to understand that because listen, if we're not going to attract people to Christ, there is no la-la land. You're either attracting or you're discouraging others to Christ. There's no middle of the road here that we can say, I'm safe, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. No, yes you are. It's like somebody asking you a question and you become silent. Your silence speaks. Your presence of how you handle your life speaks. Discourage them or attract them. One or the other is going to happen. So we find here Christ setting us a tremendous example. Because why? Because his ministry, again, one of the currents, he's going to continue his ministry regardless of what the other current says, regardless of what the other people do. So here we find him continuing, but the reason they came is because of what he did. Second thing we find is continuing in God's timing. Look at verse 10 and 12. In verse 9, it simply says, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. That concept of thronging him simply means that there is a large crowd, they're going to overtake us. And listen, there's only so much ground that you can back up to with the sea at your back. So, interesting enough, Mark is the only one who mentions this detail through all the Gospels. And I think the reason why he mentioned it, as we discussed earlier when we studied, is that a lot of what Mark wrote was testimony of Peter. It was the testimony of his messages. It was the testimony of what Peter saw and was there that Mark was writing. So Peter must have mentioned it that, listen, the crowd was so huge. And, you know, Kim laughed at me. I said, listen, I just want to see what the groundhog says, okay? So we get on the TV this morning, and we get on this news thing, and they spanned the audience. All the people on the Gobbler's Mountain, or it could either be interpreted those who have no clue, or, I mean, those who have nothing else to do in life. I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad it's here because it brings economic everything to everybody, okay? I'm not making fun of it. But the crowd was so vast. And as I'd studied for this morning, I thought, you know, that must have been what it was like. because his back was to the sea and just nothing but people. And they wanted to run and touch the table. They wanted to run and touch him, because if they touched him, they knew they would be healed. So they're saying, I'm going and I'm going and I don't care who's in front of me. And they're pushing and they're pushing. And he says, hey, guys, get a boat ready because I'm about ready to drown here, okay? That was the only detail. So in that detail, again, God's timing. Don't miss that in the detail of him asking for a boat. Why? Because he knew he was going to need it. Do you think God's going to leave you out there hanging when he knows what you need tomorrow? He's already got it prepared for you tomorrow. He's already got everything in store, what you're going to go through and what you need to get through it. That's our God. He's a great God, isn't he? He's an awesome God. His timing is impeccable. Now listen, you may think you're on your last breath. You may think you're about ready to blow your last bubble in that deep water. And God says, I gotcha. And it almost, to me, is like a frustrating thing. It's like, really, God, couldn't you be here 2 minutes earlier? I'm about gone here. But you know what? In his timing, he does it, why? So our strength will be built in him. Not our own abilities to swim. Not our own abilities to conquer things. God says it's all about me. Remember that? All you things that you do bring glory to me, not to you. Sometimes God has to wait to the last minute in order to make it happen. So when we see that in his life, we understand that God is doing all this. So his timing continues. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. I want to pause there for a moment, because now we have something different in play. First, we see that they were pressing of the people didn't stop him. They were continued to pressing, continuing God's timing. The people pressing him didn't stop what he was doing, what he was trying to do. But all of a sudden now, we are introduced to a new group of people. And in this new group of people, what it says, the plot to kill him didn't stop him in verses 11 and then in 12. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. So, interesting enough, this moment in time, the two currents now begin to collide. Why? Because God's first current was what? Christ continuing his ministry. The crowds couldn't stop him. The sea didn't stop him because he had a boat waiting on him. And so now he comes into these people in verse 11, the unclean spirits. What that means is the demon-possessed people. The unclean spirits was the demon-possessed people. And all of a sudden, when they saw Christ, what did they say? They fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. They didn't see him for what he was doing. They saw him for who he was. And the demons knew who he was. Nobody else did. Nobody else got it. They were only saying, I want healed. I want healed physically. I want my arms back. I want to be able to live life. I want to be able to do things. But see, the problem is they want to just live life, heal me, God, so I can go live life I want to live. The demon says, wait a minute, this is the Son of God. And here's the important thing about the timing. Christ says in verse 12, don't tell anybody who I am. Why? It's not time yet. It's not time for them to know me yet. Interesting enough, when you look at this, should not make known, basically in the Greek comes to the idea of not to verify who I am. Don't verify who I am. Why? Because God has a timing in all this. And I want to just open up real quick and listen. Here's a key note. What the evil spirits knew, Christ's true identity, is what the Pharisees used to kill him. Is that not true? They went to Pilate. He is a blasphemer. He said he is equal with God. Wasn't that what the demons just said they knew? He's the Son of God. And God says, listen, it's not time to give them that ammunition yet. It's not time to give them the idea, because that same idea is what put him on the cross. And the cross wasn't time yet. His identity, true identity, wasn't yet to be known to everyone. But it was known to the right people. Because we're going to see in the following text, in the following verses, how he calls the 12. how he begins to bring his team together. They knew who he was. They understood who he was. This timing to me is very, very important. Because, you know, in your life and in my life, we come to points in our life where we don't understand why now. And that question of not just why this, why now? Listen, how many times you've been living life, everything's going good, and all of a sudden you get a little ache, you get a little pain, you go to the doctors, and you're half dead already. You know, it's like, man, where did that come from? How did that happen? God, why now? I was just beginning. Listen, you know one of the saddest testimonies I hear all the time? I just retired. We had all these plans. Now they're gone. I hear all the time I hear that. And so that doesn't encourage me to retire earlier because I don't want nothing bad to happen after that, you know. So there's a logic to this thought process. But what it tells me is very few people actually live out the retirement they plan. Very few people. So don't put all your eggs in that basket. Don't put all your stuff in a basket. Why? Because God said, you got a ministry. Continue in the ministry until I tell you different. Continue in the ministry. But there's a current going against us as there was with Christ. There's a current that doesn't want you to continue in your ministry. Continue in your ministry. Because Christ set the example. And the information that those demons knew on that day was the same information they used to kill him. But it wasn't his time to die. He still had ministry. How important is the timing of God? See, it's very easy to see that portrayed and played. As we look this morning, how do we take away? What do we take away from this? First of all, if the power of God fuels your ministry, you will attract others. If the power of God powers your life, powers your ministry, powers your response, powers what you do, you will attract others. Look what he did. They came from everywhere. They came from all over. Why? Their thought process was wrong, but he still attracted them. You and I have the ability to attract them into the spiritual side of Christ by how we respond and how we live our life. The second thing we find, do what you do today, let God take care of tomorrow. I mean, we know that to be true, don't we? That's like spiritual 101, right? Why worry about tomorrow? Take it to God today. That is so nice to preach on a Sunday morning. Ask me about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and I may tell you I'm different. I don't know. Because why? Because the truth of God is the hardest thing to live. In a world, remember, we're jumping in a current going the wrong direction. We're jumping in that current that was there at Christ at that moment, trying to destroy his faith and testimony and who he was. They wanted to kill him. And kill him they will. In God's timing and for God's purpose, not theirs. You see, we need to let go. We need to let God have our tomorrows. We need to not think about yesterday. Learn from yesterday. Better yourself today. Have faith in your tomorrow. Because God has it under control. The last thing we bring to you today, don't stop. Don't give in. No matter how hard it gets, God's power and God's timing will see you through. God's power and God's timing will always see you through life. And it's hard. Listen, I'm not making this easy. Kim and I were just talking about this. How easy it is to talk about these things. How easy it is to preach about these things. But then we got to live them. You see, talking about them, Satan says, you can talk about it all you want. When you go to try to live it, Satan says, that's when I'm going to get involved. Satan says, that's when I'm going to try to knock you off your foundation. That's when I'm going to try to get you to complain. That's when I'm going to try to get you to stop having the joy of your spirit. In fact, we told Eric yesterday at his party, listen, when your outside body begins to continue to wear out, amen? Anybody got me? Remember, at the end of this month, I'm getting a new knee, okay? I'm getting a knee replaced at the end of this month. Our bodies wear out. That's life. But don't ever let your inside wear out. Don't ever let the Spirit of God die in your life because that's what will continue on your ministry. That's the power and the promise of God in our life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. You can still say, praise God for who he is. That's what we need to do. That's what our world needs to see and hear. And that's the challenge of today. And it all starts with having our lives realized, lined up with him. Constantly thinking about who he is. not what he can do. The bottom line is God can do whatever he wants to do. Why? Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm not going to change what he does. But I need to get in line with what he does because of who he is. No matter what he does, he has my back. No matter what he does, I have his promises. No matter what he does, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. No matter what he does with him, I will be okay. The greatest testimony to that is my sister Cheryl, back when she was in Honduras as a missionary, Nicaragua and Honduras were fighting on the border. They didn't live too far from the border. And we're like, you got to get out of there. What is wrong with you? I'm going to come down there and smack your husband. Get you out of there. And she said, Kevin, I am safer in the center of God's will in the middle of a war than I am outside home. Why? Because she knew where the center of God's will was for her life. She knew where she needed to be. Listen, folks, we need to get that center. We need to get back into the center of what God has for us. And then no matter what happens, we know we're going to be all right. We need to get back to the center. We need to continue to the ministry, no matter what the flow of Satan has in our life. We need to get back to do what God asks us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our ministry, for our understanding of the truth today. God, we thank you for all that you've done in us and through us. And God, I know that there are so much more that you want to accomplish. I know there's so many more people that you want us to talk to. And God, I pray today that we have great understanding and a great idea of what that means. And God, today, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, someone that has never come to you and just cried out, God, I know who you are. God, I know who I am. I'm a sinner that needs saved by your grace. God, that they do that today. For us who know you, for us who have a claim to have that profession, Father, may we continue with the ministry you've given us. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get tired and weary. When we do, it's because we've done it on our own. God, we need to come back to you. Allow you to take our burdens. Allow you to take our battles. And God, we just praise you because we know you're faithful to do it. God, today I pray that many here today may be coming in with battles, coming in with concepts of struggles in their life. God, may they give them to you today. May they leave them at the cross. May they leave them with you. And Father, may they walk out different than when they came. God, we lift it to you in your Son's name. Amen. If God is stirring and God is working with your heart and life today, don't tell him no.